Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. In Discipleship, the Way of Life, Energia, you heard about God's miraculous power carried out in and through their creation. God's work is well beyond humanity's capacity, competence, and capability. That's the plain old truth. Oh, the omnipotence of the only true God. In Energia, we covered only three specific events of God's omnipotence. God's divine power is on display ever since. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters, all by the power of God's Word, in which formless became distinct and orderly, and void was transformed into occupied and bounteous, all because God said so. Do you believe? If you need proof, it's Isaiah 55:11. You got your tanks. Let's dive in. This segment is titled Discipleship, the Way of Life, Energia Revisited. It would only make good spiritual sense, my fellow disciples, because I am on fire to come back again and talk about God's energia. And so therefore, we're going to dive into Isaiah 55:11 first, because it would make good spiritual sense as disciples of Jesus to look at what God said in Isaiah 55:11. Amen. So this is what God says in Isaiah 55:11. So will my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. So, my fellow disciples, if we would just look at the pure milk of God's word goes from him, does what God desires, and returns to him successful. So even God's word is on mission, and what God's desires for his word to accomplish, it accomplishes it, and not only accomplish it, it thrives and achieves. Then it would be sensible to think, if God gave you a command to go and it came directly from his mouth to your ear, you would be going, right? And as you went, God's word returns to him because you left. And you would begin to accomplish and succeed in the matter for which God sent you. Is that a fair statement? So let me ask you, are you succeeding in the manner for which God commanded you as his disciple to go? And here is a command that God has given to his disciples that went forth from his mouth. Listen to Jesus's command, which would be the word that goes forth from his mouth and it's directed to your ear. That is, if God has given you an ear to hear. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, before I ask, I would like to make certain that there's no misunderstanding or miscommunication of what God's word that goes forth from his mouth does not return to him empty without accomplishing what he desires and without succeeding in the manner for which he sent it. Okay? So we're on the same page reading the same thing. Okay. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So may I ask you, do you see light? God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Let me ask you, do you see oceans and land? God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them, and it was so. One more time, do you see and enjoy veggies, plants, and fruit, and the reproduction process of each, when God said seed after their own kind? Okay, one last one of the thousand of words God has spoken. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Don't think I have to ask you that question. But I will ask you this one. When God said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In his word that goes forth from his mouth and does not return to it empty, without accomplishing what he desires and without succeeding in the manner for which he sent it. What does disciple making look like in your life in the place where God has placed you? And I would ask, well, let me say it this way. I would say before answering, let's go back and review the truth of God, and it will be our guiding light. Amen. Listen again to 2 Corinthians 13. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Now, there's one surefire way to confirm if you are in the faith and Jesus Christ, the superior disciple maker, is in you. Then the answer of your self-test should be evidence of disciple-making, which is the imitation of the superior disciple-maker, just like Jesus commanded. Is that a yes or a no? And if it is no, then what is the result of your self-test? Because the plain old truth, God said, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So, the simple truth, if God sent his word out of his mouth with you as the recipient, then you would be making disciples, just like everything God commands to happen happens as he commanded, like the evil spirit from the man in Capernaum. A man with leprosy, a paralytic who was let down from the roof, a storm on the sea, a woman in a crowd with a blood issue, a blind, mute demoniac, and Lazarus from the dead. God's word works. Now the question again is, are you going and making disciples? Because you should be making disciples if, that is, God the Holy Spirit is an occupant. You know his presence and work within your essence. So here we are, Energia Revisited. Let's dive in. The first step in God's work as a disciple of Jesus and a maker of disciples is one's ability to make a disciple of themselves. How could you make another into a disciple if you're not a disciple maker of yourself? Here's another way of looking at this truth, and listen to what God says, and it will confirm both sides of the truth. A corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth, you, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? That passage is from Romans 2. Let me ask you again. How can you make disciples if you're not teaching yourself? And the helper who teaches you all things and brings to remembrance all that Jesus has said to you is not teaching you. Then what's the result of this portion of the self-examination test? The simple truth is, God the Holy Spirit is the implanter of the seed, and the seed is the Word of God because Jesus said it was, and this truth is in Luke 8, as Jesus says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God, and the fruit of the Spirit is the byproduct of the seed." And God has told us in John 14, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Then you, as a disciple of Jesus, will receive teaching about your role in God's kingdom plan for redemption of humanity from the fall of man. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you, disclose to you, and teach you. And as a result of his workmanship, fruit will begin to take root in your essence. It breaks the soil of your flesh and begins to sprout up. your life begins to glorify God for their amazing work in your life first, and then for the work that you and they carry out through your life into the life of another. Now, you should know what the fruit of the Spirit is, but I will testify as to what God says His fruit is, and you can find it in Galatians 5. Listen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And the reason there is no law, because these are attributes of God that are now become fruit in your essence by the power, in other words, energia, and this energia is the product of God the Holy Spirit's presence. And this fruit, you must know, understand, and believe that they are intrinsic in your essence. This is not a way of life you try to live, my fellow disciples. This life that comes forth deep within one's essence at the core of your existence, generated by the power, energia of God, the Holy Spirit. I believe there is, let me say it this way. I believe this is where many struggle, that they think that this way of life is something you add to your life with the plethora of facets of life that one is involved in. No, my fellow disciples, it's the energia that causes the change in one's essence deep within. And this is the catalyst to the life change that God's word that goes forth from His mouth gives to those that are chosen for His Spirit to rest upon. Remember the day of Pentecost? We go back to Acts 2. They were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And the more the fruit grows and ripens, the more God's workmanship becomes apparent to yourself. Past it is for testing of self. And the evidence of God's work to all you encounter as God directs your steps. Listen to this truth of God. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, as God confirms His work through Proverbs 16. And as a disciple of Jesus, you are transferred by God the Father from the domain of darkness, regenerated into a new creature with a new heart, a new spirit, and the supernatural infusion of God's Spirit into your essence. It's your discipleship duty to be victorious over the corruption embodied within your flesh. And it's your accountability to battle the lust of your eyes and the lust of the flesh and the boastful pride of life, and the distractions and enticements of the world with the grace and power, energia, God gives you in your essence. And it's all accompanied by the occupation of God, the Holy Spirit. It's the only true God that is the source of the energia within your essence. For without an energia, you will continue to fall victim to your own flesh and its evil practices. Remember what God said in Colossians 3? But now you also put them all aside. You cannot put anything aside if you don't have any power. The reason why so many fail is they try to use their own power and they're really powerless. But put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices and put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. God, the Holy Spirit, gives you the energia to overpower your own corruption. God's prescription is to walk by the Spirit. And to walk by is not an external stroll, my fellow disciples. No, no. When God says by, they mean through and at the hand and command of God, the Holy Spirit. You can only accomplish God's will and work by the workmanship of God Himself. Just like God provided for Himself the lamb for the burnt offering, and God provided Himself for the salvation of humanity by the shedding of His blood on the surface of this sin-infested snake pit that served as the altar, because God said this in Hebrews 9. And in the same way, He sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Listen to this truth of God again. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I know this aspect of God's law is hardly communicated, but, my fellow disciples, if we only knew the fullness and the need for Jesus' blood to be shed for the forgiveness of sin, because all of humanity is guilty before God, all. And when God says all, He means all. And because God is eternally just, His justice must prevail. And God has told us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, as Romans 6 confirms God's promise of eternal life in and through Jesus only. And because you are filled with God's Spirit, this does not mean your flesh has lost its leverage, pressure, magnetism, or sway in any shape or form. Your flesh is alive, and you must be purposeful to crucify it daily. Remember what God said through their disciple Luke in Luke 9? And He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. As a disciple of Jesus, you must be purposeful in the practice of self-denial and take no pleasure or have no contentment in approve or participate in the ways of the world in any shape or form. It is crucial to your spiritual growth and maturity not to indulge, coddle, and pamper your fleshly appetites, desires, and cravings. As a disciple of Jesus, and only by the occupation, you know His presence and work of God the Holy Spirit. Can you prefer God's salvation and all that comes with it? And it's a lot to follow Jesus. Then to desire and crave the ease and pleasures of and for yourself, and the ease and pleasures of and from the world. Believe that truth. Remember this promise of God, which, by the way, that proceeds from His heart, mind, and His mouth. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. The best remedy for sickness is medicine when your immune system is weak and defeated. Well, living and walking by God the Holy Spirit is the remedy for your spiritual wellness, willingness, and the weakness of your flesh. There is a significant difference in one's spiritual healthiness and living out God's Word compared to just talking about God and His Word. It seems today there are many that have the gift of gab, but there are only the few that their walk speaks louder than their words could ever say. How does God the Holy Spirit's energia assist and facilitate the new convert's way of living this new life, being and making disciples? Well, the first evidence of true spiritual work by God the Holy Spirit in the new convert is repentance. God the Holy Spirit creates a state of distinction in one new convert's heart of flesh and mind to recognize truth from lies. And you begin to see sin for what it is, sin. And your thinking begins to change, the true indication of repentance. God creates a new desire to read, study, and meditate on His living and active Word. And God the Holy Spirit introduces teaching methods to bring forth understanding and clarity to differentiate between godly works and selfish deeds. Deeds that once were thought to be good are actually evil. God provides the means for the new convert to experience a new nature. And this spiritual regeneration begins deep within the soul, and the old passes away and the new comes. This is God's promise of new discipleship, disciple living, new way of living in and only through Jesus. God's truth is 2 Corinthians 5. Go read, study, and meditate on it. When God the Holy Spirit's regeneration workmanship through the energia, the new convert's old views, opinions, judgments, and beliefs begin to lose their influence and control. And like falling dominoes, old practices, principles, and rituals tumble as these things become new. The new convert, being made alive, acts on God's truth with new principles and practices, leading to a new end. Even one's relationships begin to change. And the new convert begins to walk and live by God the Holy Spirit's occupation. The mind of the new convert becomes the next undertaking of God's work. I know, I'm speaking from experience. And as the Spirit of God continues to bring forth truth, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. Now all of a sudden, my fellow disciples, you all know, and those who haven't don't know. And if you don't know, you don't talk about it. I guess that's that saying again, and again, I can't tell you who said it. You'll never talk about something you don't know any more than you could come back from where you'd never been. And the Spirit is now against the flesh. And the flesh against the Spirit, because God says in Galatians 5, these are in opposition to one another. Now you have a battle within yourself, where you used to give in to your flesh. And now the flesh desires control that it once had. You no longer have that. Now I'm following the calling of God on my life. And where the new convert once was dead in their trespasses and sin, and the sinful deeds of immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, rebellion, and all the rest, begin to lose their dominance in one's life because God makes them alive, and the deeds of the flesh that were not only evident to the new convert themselves, but all who were living in close proximity recognizes that those ugly deeds are beginning to vanish. As I was meditating on this portion of the Godcast and was preparing for how pornography can captivate one's mind and the real need for a renewing of my mind, God the Holy Spirit brought to mind a conversation I had with a new convert several years ago that was addicted to crack cocaine. And I asked him, how did God help him defeat that craving? And his answer was quite simple, yet amazingly powerful. He said, God took the taste out of my mouth. And once the taste was gone, my desire for the drug diminished almost immediately. God is amazing. Many want to say the mind is the playground for the devil, but you must believe it's the gathering place for the flesh first. You cannot defeat the flesh without power, energia of God, because it's the work of God that creates the new perspective, leading to a new way of speaking, a new way of living, a new person. You could say, speaking in and with a new tongue. Praise God. Through the energia or power of God, the Holy Spirit, the thief steals no more, because their hands can produce what is good. The adulterer becomes faithful because they have learned and been taught of God's faithfulness. The liar tells the truth because they learn God's truth and who the father of lies really is. The fornicator practices abstinence because they learn fornication's spiritual condition and position of unrighteousness and its eternal consequence. The impatient learns patience because they are taught of God the Father's patience toward them. Anger is transformed into good-natured because they learn how to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Addictions are shattered because God's energia is greater than any created thing. They read, study, and meditate on God's word because they learn of their need for a renewed mind, and it can only happen by the washing of God's word. They repent because they are taught of God's righteousness, holiness, justice, and judgment. They walk by the Spirit because they learned of God's faithfulness to lead them to eternal life. They turn from their own way only by the energia of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and follow Jesus, because they learned by the teaching of God, the Holy Spirit, of the true finished work of Jesus. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. They learn of their disobedience because they are taught obedience. They learn of their own unfaithfulness because they are taught of the faithfulness of God. Conversations, context changes because they are taught of God's word and now understand what an unwholesome word is and how they harm. Broken lives are restored because God can restore what the locusts have eaten. Marriages, flames that are flickering and almost out, are rekindled because God has taught them God's love and forgiveness for each of them. And the list of God's work goes on and on and on. And it will go on by the workmanship of the only true God in and through their creation, because they all have learned by the teaching of the Helper that He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So let me ask you a few questions to cogitate on. If you are it, how can you change it? For example, if you are darkness, how can you change from what you are? How can you make yourself light if you don't know what light is, or what light looks like, because you are darkness? And as Jesus said, how great is that darkness? If you are dead, how can you make yourself alive? If you were born with an evil sin nature, how can you change that nature? What would be the catalyst for instituting that change? If the light bulb is only effective when it's connected to a power source, how can the light bulb illuminate its surrounding without a power source? God asked Jeremiah this in Jeremiah 13. Can an Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? What would your answer be if God asked you that question? And your answer should be the same for anyone who thinks they control their own salvation and entrance into God's kingdom. That's the plain old truth. It's wonderful to hear through God's living and active word that applies all along this linear line of time, my fellow disciples, of how God the Holy Spirit works in and through their chosen people that are called by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God for the commission of discipleship. This life of discipleship is modeled by Jesus, and his initial converts are the fruit of his disciple workmanship. And as a result of his stellar disciple work powered by God the Holy Spirit, his disciple template is acceptable to God, which must be your spiritual service of worship. Listen to what God says in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How does your walk model the initial converts and confirms that God the Holy Spirit is an occupant and at work within your essence? It's God the Holy Spirit that moves men, and it's not the act of human will, but God. When God saved me, he completed his heart and spiritual supernatural transplant. About a year had passed, and I was inspired to write a poem. And the title of the poem was Burning Ember. And I'm going to share it with you today. I pray it encourages you of God's work in and through God the Holy Spirit's energia. Burning Ember. Burning ember, burning so bright, burning before God's glorious sight. Burning ember, burning so deep, from my heart to guide my feet. Burning ember, extinguish not, burning ember, always burn hot. Burning ember, always be true, give me love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness too. Burning ember, you are mine, scent, aroma, light so fine. Burning ember, burning so bright, burning before God's glorious sight. I would have to tell you, my fellow disciples, I don't think I would know what a burning ember would be. And I guess that was the picture. It's an ember, a burning within the deepest aspect of your existence. And without God the Holy Spirit's work in my life, I would have never written a poem about a burning ember within my existence unless God placed it there. That's the plain old truth. It's only by the occupation and God the Holy Spirit's guidance, direction, teaching, and power will you move onward in your response to God's calling on your life as you journey toward the narrow gate. Amen. As we head back up, take this with you. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit, and it's for several reasons. God is love. 1 John 4 testifies. Also in 1 John 4, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. as Jesus testifies in John 15. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel, John 5 says. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, as Jesus says in John 15. Love is patient. Love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, as 1 Corinthians 13 proclaims. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit because, as a disciple of Jesus, you must walk like him in love, talk like him in love like him, forgive like him, give grace like him, be obedient like him, be faithful like him, offer mercy like him, honor and glorify the Father like him. God's, in other words, would be, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And finally, I will forever testify, it was God, is God, and will always be God completing their work in and through their creation. That's the plain old truth. I would like to share with you another inspiration from God, and it's the first entry in my book titled Walking the Way, Discipling Everywhere with a Fresh Set of Eyes. And it reads like this. As a disciple of Jesus, you will begin to know and understand, if you haven't already, when you receive by God's providential will your new identity, that you became a disciple of Jesus. As Jesus' disciple, you step into the shoes the disciple left behind. You are now the next disciple, stepping into those shoes as you respond to God's calling on your life so you would walk the way Jesus did. Have confidence. Your shoes are just like those worn in the wilderness. They will never wear out because God designed them to be walked in by those who will faithfully carry his word and truths in their hearts to the world. And when that day comes, you, like everyone before you, will step out of those shoes, and another disciple will step into them right behind you. And the truth of the only true God and Jesus Christ will go on and on and on. Let me pray for you. Abba, I love you and I thank you for today. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Abba, thank you for the day of Pentecost. Because to read in your word that you sent the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, your Parakletos, came so long ago to fill the lives of your initial converts and made them into your disciples. And it's by their work and faithfulness, through and powered by the energia of God, the Holy Spirit. I know you have brought forth your Spirit into my essence, And today I ask that you do and bring forth your spirit into someone's essence today. And you have done every day since the day of Pentecost to be with us forever. What a wonderful blessing and truth to hold on to. And because of your energia, we do not need to see the tongues of fire rest on those in our midst to recognize a new heart, a new spirit, and your spirit that takes up permanent residence within those we love's essence. We will know when we see the old turned into new, and we will praise you for your infinite, unfailing love, unwavering faithfulness, eternal truth, and everlasting word. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your guidance, your creation of this new man, your spirit's energia, your forgiveness, your mercy, your peace, your discipline, and your life. Thank you for your commands and promises. Thank you for Jesus, for his life and his work. Thank you for your spirit, for without him, there is no life or power in these dry bones. Abba, I know you hear my voice and my supplications, because you inclined your ear to hear me. Therefore, I shall call upon you as long as I live. I thank you for your inclining ear to hear. I ask all these things in and by the energy of God the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have a great day of worship and keep walking the way.